The Healer, The Healing Work of Mary Baker Eddy, compiled and arranged by David Keeston. Part 5, First Continuation. Number 196. As has been mentioned, Mrs. Eddy rarely appeared in public without someone being healed by her constant reflection of God's infinite love. And never did she preach without some needy person receiving benefit from her inspiring sermon or address. The following account, when Mrs. Eddy was speaking from the pulpit, is provided by Edward P. Bates, CSB, a faithful student of Mrs. Eddy's. During this address, several healings took place. One in particular, an account of which was published in the journal a few months afterwards. A man came in with two crutches, listened to her, and went out without them. When he reached the house he was visiting on Tremont Street, his friends asked him where his crutches were. He said he did not know. He had never seen them since he went into that church and heard that woman talk. The janitor looked for the crutches, but never found them. Number 197. The day preceding our leader's first address in the Mother Church, May 26, 1895, Mother went from Concord to Boston and remained in the mother's room at the church all night. The next morning, Sunday, during the singing of the second hymn, she was conducted up the aisle of the church to the reader's platform by Mr. E. P. Bates, and she stood at the reader's desk and addressed the congregation. You will find that wonderful and inspiring address on page 106 of Miscellaneous Writings. Her words were a great arousal, and I learned that 13 people were healed while she was speaking. There may have been others of whom I did not know. From Luke. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Number 198. Mr. G. of Boston told me that his wife's eldest brother had a rupture which he had seen, and which was so bad that the man could not stand on his feet with it, and that he always had to wear a truss for support. This man went to the original Mother Church to one of the meetings at which Mrs. Eddy spoke, and was healed during the service. Number 199. The following illustrates Mrs. Eddy's wisdom as the result of listening to God regarding every detail of her life and the formation and growth of her church. God dictated every bylaw of her church, and she obeyed the same God-given wisdom when it was necessary to purchase a piece of property, because she was always listening to God. Mrs. Eddy made a practice of doing things quickly when it was revealed to her that they should be done. In response to a demonstration, we saw the owner of 95 Falmouth Street for the first time on Christmas Eve. Christmas morning, before 11 o'clock, we had a contract for the house and had paid part of the purchase money as per agreement. We knew before we had finished the original Mother Church, judging from the constant growth of our audiences, that we should need a larger building, and we should need all the property on that block for the purpose. Later on, we purchased 97 Falmouth Street all in one day. 99 Falmouth Street hung along a while until Mrs. Bates received a telegram from Mrs. Eddy. Buy 99 at once, or you will never get it. The party who was to furnish the money for the purchase lived in a distant city. But Mrs. Bates, in response to this order, went to the real estate agent and bought the house that day. Next, we bought number 101 in a similar manner. Number 200. The following story is a healing that took place after Mrs. Eddy's second address in the Mother Church, and appeared in the columns of the Christian Science Journal, volume 14, page 550, a year later. The father of one of my students, who has long been connected with one of the banks in the city, went into the vice president's room one day about 4 weeks ago and found the vice president sitting there, apparently much dazed about something. The caller was greeted by the question, "Do you know anything about Christian Science?" My friend said, "Yes, but why do you ask?" The vice president replied, "Because an old friend of mine, a man I have known for years, has just been here, and he told me what seems to me to be a miracle. This man had been a pronounced invalid for years, and had grown so irritable that his family could scarcely live with him. He was unable to walk without support. Last January, he was visiting in Boston, not far from the Christian Science Church there. Sunday morning, hearing the chimes, he asked to what church they belonged. On being informed that it was the Christian Science Church, and that the worshipers in that church claimed to heal the sick, he went to the service. He said he had not been in there long when a woman came in who was announced as Mrs. Eddy, and she gave a talk. She had not talked long until all of a sudden he felt he was healed. He did not miss his canes until after he reached the house of his friend. The next day he bought Science and Health, a book written by the same Mrs. Eddy who spoke in the church. Since then, he has been an ardent student of that book. This is his story, said the vice president, and I don't believe even he realizes the transformation that has taken place in him. I assure you, I never saw so great a change in any person. His face was radiant with health and happiness, and for 2 hours he has talked on Christian Science. I did not know he could be so enthusiastic on anything. From John. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." From Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number 201. One of Mrs. Eddy's students had worked for herself without success, and had another student work for her without success, and she was nearly passing on. Mrs. Eddy sent a message to her which read as follows: God gave you an abiding sense of life that needs not to be fought for. Remember this, and you will live forever. She recovered at once. Number 202. There are countless instances of God's protecting care of Mrs. Eddy. Mortal minds, evils, continual attempts to kill her or use others to kill her failed. Her divinely appointed mission to humanity under God's precious care and her absolute dependence on God always protected her. Clara Shannon has told of a time that Dr. Ebenezer Foster Eddy, Mrs. Eddy's adopted son, was driving Mother along State Street when the City of Concord was doing work on the street and had a big hole dug in the middle. The doctor drove right into the hole and out again, and Mrs. Eddy was thrown out of the carriage as it went down and back up. The wheel was just about to come over her neck and face, and she said afterward, "Love stopped that wheel and would not let it come over me." 1 John. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Number 203. At Pleasant View, dominion over weather, storms, etc., was just the same as over other seeming material conditions. After a prolonged drought, the inharmonious condition was met by our leaders watching and praying, the effect being rain when there was not a cloud visible in the sky. At other times, heavy, dark clouds appeared when there was no rain. Also, truth was demonstrated to quell storms. During part of the year, cyclones were sometimes experienced at Concord. And one day, Miss Morgan came to see me and said that the clouds were gathering and there was going to be a dreadful storm. And she called me to look through the windows of her room, which was at the end of the house, looking towards the stables. Above, I saw dark clouds which seemed to be coming towards us very rapidly. And as Mother had told me, whenever I saw a cyclone or storm coming, I must let her know. I went to her room immediately and told her. She rose and went to the veranda at the back of the house. By that time, the clouds had reached overhead. She then went into the front vestibule and looked on that side of the house. Then she returned to the veranda, and I heard her say, "The children in Boston," meaning her students, the directors. I ran downstairs to the front door, opened it, and went outside, looked up and saw the clouds hanging over the house, very heavy black clouds. And in the middle, right over the house, was a rift. They were dividing. Part were going one way and the other part in the opposite direction. This seemed to be such a strange phenomenon that I went in, closed the door, and went upstairs to Mother, on the veranda and told her what I saw. I said, "The clouds are dividing just overhead." She said, "Clouds? What do you mean? Are there any clouds?" I said, "No, Mother." She was looking up, and I could see by the expression on her face that she was not seeing clouds, but was realizing the truth. I saw the black clouds turn to indigo, to light gray, to white fleecy clouds, which dissolved, and there were no more. And she said to me, "There are no clouds to hide God's face, and there is nothing that can come between the light and us. It is divine love's weather." That was early in the evening. The wind had been blowing terrifically, and Mr. Fry and another gentleman were in the attic trying to pull down a large American flag. It was a fete day, and a gentleman had sent his flag to Mrs. Eddy. It was very large. She had it hoisted, and Mr. Fry and his friend were trying to pull it down. And the strength of the two men was not sufficient to pull down the flag. But suddenly, the wind subsided, and the flag yielded. Next morning, early, when the mail was delivered, the postman was amazed to see that nothing had been disturbed in the garden, as from a short distance down the road and in the town, there was a great deal of damage. The lesson I learned then through that experience has since helped me through many storms by sea and on land. Blizzard, sometime during the winter, just before the hour at which Mrs. Eddy took her daily drive, there would be a heavy snowstorm which would develop into a blizzard and snowdrifts, so that one could scarcely see the opposite side of the road. One day, when it seemed very severe, and this error had to be overcome from blinding snowstorm in a short time, a beautiful afternoon was experienced. It stopped snowing and drifting. The sun came out, and everything was covered with new white snow. It was perfect, and we had every proof that error was trying to interfere and deprive our leader of the little recreation that her drive afforded. Thank God for that victory. From Psalms, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." Number 204. Another day, when there was a snowstorm, and the snow was falling heavily, she went into the garden in the same clothing which she was wearing indoors, without coat or hat. She asked someone to tell her when the snow had reached a pile above her head. She stood there until this friend told her that it had gone as high above her as it could. When she came in and brushed the snow off wherever it had accumulated, and thus proved that cold and inclement weather could not do her any harm. From Science and Health, "Heat and cold are products of mortal mind." Number 205. At one time, some of the students at Mrs. Eddy's Pleasant View home in Concord were sitting in front of a window working against a storm which was approaching. Suddenly, Mrs. Eddy came up behind them and said, "You are not meeting it because you are mesmerized by the appearance. Then she swept them aside, took up the case herself, and in a short time they saw the blue sky appear through the center of the storm cloud. Number 206. Mrs. Eddy's maid was working in the room where Mrs. Eddy was, and all of a sudden it got very dark, and it surprised her so much that she looked out of a window back of Mrs. Eddy and saw a most terrible storm. There were black clouds shaped like funnels rolling around and coming straight towards Mrs. Eddy's home. She had never seen anything like it. Then she went out of the room about her work, and when she came back a short time afterwards, Mrs. Eddy said to her, "Have you looked out of the window?" No, she had not, but she did, and there was all sunshine and clear skies. The storm had disappeared. Number 207. Henrietta Chanfrau, at one time a worker in Mrs. Eddy's home in Concord, Pleasant View, relates in her Reminiscences of Mary Baker Eddy another instance when Mrs. Eddy raised Calvin Fry from death. One morning, about 10 o'clock, Mr. Fry was taken with a belief of suffering and apparently was passing on. Mrs. Eddy was told of it and immediately came to his room where several of us were gathered. She walked straight up to where he was lying on his bed and, standing over him, called out, "Calvin, rise up. They are trying to kill your leader." She repeated this 2 or 3 times. Suddenly, he sat up, looked about him, and was restored immediately to health. Then she told him to come with her to her study, where she talked with him alone for about 30 minutes. This was a most remarkable experience, and I shall always recall it when I wish to think of what absolute Christian Science healing is. Number 208. During the founding of her church, Mrs. Eddy would frequently rely on the services of attorneys in finding the exact wording or law that was required to fit a particular need. When the Boston attorneys failed to find a law by which our church could obtain a charter, I called in the services of the Honorable Reuben Walker, now judge of the Supreme Court of the State of New Hampshire. I asked him to find for us a law to fit the case. He said that he knew of no such law upon the statute books. I asked him upon what was human law based. He reflected and then said, "Upon the divine law." "But," he said, "if the Massachusetts abstractor of law can find no such statute, how can I?" To this I replied, "God has somewhere provided such a law, and I know you can find it." 3 days later, my secretary visited him and found him lost in a pile of law books he had been examining. His greeting was, "I have found the law." It was a statute which was enacted to suit the needs of the Methodist Church and fully met our requirements. From Science and Health. There is today danger of repeating the offense of the Jews by limiting the Holy One of Israel and asking, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Psalm 78, verse 19. What cannot God do? Number 209. In 1897, Mrs. Eddy invited her followers to visit her at Pleasant View, July 4th, Independence Day. Many were the followers that traveled that day by train or carriage. One of the attenders, a Mrs. Jessie Cooper, brought her 9-year-old son and 7-year-old daughter all the way from Kansas City. The daughter had been suffering severely from a boil on her curly-haired head. Following Mrs. Eddy's words to those that had come, she received them through the porte cochere, where she was seated on the porch. When Mrs. Cooper and her children reached Mrs. Eddy, quite an impression was made upon the mother, whose account was preserved below. "I wish I could make the world know what I saw when Mrs. Eddy looked at those children. It was a revelation to me. I saw for the first time the real mother love, and I knew that I did not have it. I had a strange, agonized sense of being absolutely cut off from the children. It is impossible to put into words what the uncovering of my own lack of the real mother love meant to me. As I turned in the procession and walked toward the line of trees in the front of the yard, there was a bird sitting on the limb of a tree, and I saw the same love poured out on that bird that I had seen flow from Mrs. Eddy to my children. I looked down at the grass and the flowers, and there was the same love resting on them. It is difficult for me to put into words what I saw. This love was everywhere, like the light, but it was divine, not mere human affection. I looked at the people milling around on the lawn, and I saw it poured out on them. I thought of the various discords in this field, and I saw, for the first time, the absolute unreality of everything but this infinite love. It was not only everywhere present, like the light, but it was an intelligent presence that spoke to me, and I found myself weeping as I walked back and forth under the trees and saying out loud, 'Why did I never know you before? Why have I not known you always?' When we got back to the hotel, there was no boil on my child's head. It was just as flat as the back of her hand. Each time I saw Mrs. Eddy, I had a wonderful revelation of God. I know she was no ordinary woman. God had anointed her with the oil of gladness above her fellows." From Psalms. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.